Welcome back. My two guests this hour, Paul Teodo and Tom Myers, were just talking to me about a big party they had Friday night. It was a party for the collection of short stories called Open Heart Chicago, an anthology of Chicago writing edited by Vincent Francone. Who is Vincent Francone, fellas? Who is this guy?
Vince is a teacher at Roosevelt University.
Okay.
He teaches writing there, and he also has some type of gig, and I hope I'm not minimizing what he does, with Story Studio Chicago as an instructor.
Oh, good. I'd never heard of him before, and I was so taken with this book, not just because you two guys are in it, but you've also got Stuart Dybeck in here and Nestor Gomez and a lot of people I know. He writes in his introduction in bringing this book together. He writes, "I wanted to skip the same tales you already know, be they from The Man with the Golden Arm, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, or the ongoing violence porn of cable news networks that love to describe my city as a war zone." How did you two get involved? And Tom, your buddy here, Paul, has been on the show like a million times.
Right.
Welcome.
Paul thought that after we finished our second novel that we should work with an instructor and invite some other of our friends who wanted to write also.
Oh, great.
And so we actually interviewed a couple of people, and Vince turned out to be the guy that we used. Now, I no longer participate in that group, but Paul participates with a bunch of our friends, all old guys like us.
How did you two, I heard this story from your end, Paul. How did you two guys start collaborating? You've been friends for a long time.
We've been friends for over 50 years.
So that is a long time.
We met the first day of college together. So, and we were kind of helping each other along then. And we went our separate ways for a long time. You know, I spent 30 years in the Navy. Paul ran hospitals. We did all kinds of different things all over the country.
Yeah.
And Paul was working on a story, his first novel, Pasta Man.
Sure.
And he got about halfway through.
About halfway through.
Yeah.
And it was already close to 1,000 pages, so I knew I needed help.
Yes, I needed an editor. Help,
yes,
help.
Yeah. And I was living in, I was retired from the Navy. I was living in Coronado, California at the time. And he called me and he said, can you help me with this? I was a writing major in college. Paul was psychology and stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, I said, sure. He said, well, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to start on page one, and I'm going to be on the phone, and you're going to be on the phone, and you're going to read it to me, and we're going to talk about it. And so we did it. We went over every page of the – how many words did it end up?
It ended up about 195,000, down from about 235.
Wow.
So it was way too long, but had a blast doing it with Tom.
You felt the need – and did you feel – capable of doing this? Was it fun for you to start collaborating?
It was great fun. First of all, we got connected again because, like I said, I was living in California. I'd been living there for nearly 40 years, and Paul was living in Chicago. And so we connected, and we enjoyed spending the time together, though it was work.
Yeah.
It was hard work.
It is work.
It's hard work.
People don't think of writing as hard work, and those people who don't think of writing as hard work are nuts, you people. You decided to collaborate not just in editor-writer kind of way, but in writer-writer kind of way.
Right,
Edit one another, write for one another.
Correct.
When did you make that decision?
I don't think it was a day or a week. I think it sort of came together when we were editing Pasta Man, which was probably 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, wow.
We realized that it wasn't just editing. It was a collaboration on the creative part. So we really started to do that when we wrote our second book, which is called Call Me Z.
Yeah.
And then all of the short stories, we've collaborated quite a bit.
The two first novels, Pasta Man and Call Me Z, you were on radio. We talked about both of them
earlier.
You were living in Hawaii or something. You couldn't get in, and COVID this, COVID that. You've since the two novels written something in the neighborhood of 40 short stories together?
Probably 40, somewhere in that area.
And do you find that easier than novel writing?
For me, I wouldn't say it's easier, but it's more fun. Keeping a storyline going for a year or two is difficult for me. I won't speak for Tom. And coming to a conclusion of a 4, 5, 6-page story after 2, 3 weeks is more enjoyable. It's less arduous, but it's a short story. So consequently, we'll see what it looks like when 20 or 30 of them are in a book. Will it be as gratifying as a book from beginning to end? I don't know.
It must be. I think the story you have, the story that Paul Teodo and Tom Myers have in Open Heart Chicago, an anthology of Chicago writing edited by Vincent Francone, is called People Gotta Eat. I found it a charming, charming story. It's kind of... It's not sad, but I was sad at the end of the story. Should I have been? Never mind. We'll
things
answer.
Have to end. Things have to end.
Things have to end. There you go. We got to take a little commercial break. We'll come back and talk specifically about the story and the other stories that you've gathered, and you are ready to start going out and looking for a publisher for your collaborative short stories. Paul Teodo and Tom Myers, the authors of People Gotta Eat, a short story in this new collection. A pretty good collection. You've got Stuart Dybeck in here. It's a good collection. Open Heart Chicago. Buy it. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I have 10 more minutes with the two authors, the standout authors, Paul Teodo and Tom Myers, of one of the, it looks like about 36, 37 short stories collected in Open Heart Chicago, an anthology of Chicago writing put together by editor Vincent Francone. Some are essays, some are one page long, some are the quality of People Gotta Eat, in which these two collaborated. You have, as you've said, off air, some 40 some stories that you're ready to pitch to a publisher for your first collection of short stories. You've already done a novel. Let me ask you guys something like this. What's the seed of this? I mean, how does this story start with the two of you working?
Oh, it's Paul's experience for sure, his family.
Because there's a boy. Yeah, it's told from the viewpoint of a little boy.
Correct. And I'd say 50% of that story is accurate. My mother and father had an Italian delicatessen in the late 50s. Mm-hmm. And my mother told my father at the dinner table that she had bought a store as he was putting a spoonful of pasta into his mouth. And that stopped him dead in his tracks.
Yeah, your father liked to yell, too. There's a really great... There are a couple of great lines here. And she did buy a store.
She did.
And at first, the store sold...
statues, holy cards, candles, and rosaries.
Not doing a land office business, right?
Exactly. Actually, I should have restated that. She attempted to sell statues, holy cards, candles, and rosaries. And when she didn't, and we were ready to close up, my father said, people got to eat. Yeah. You know how to cook.
And she was a great cook. When he tells you a story like this, Tom, and with the notion that you're going to form it into a short story, what's the process for you guys? I mean, do you kind of try to debrief him about this and say, well, tell me more about your dad, or tell me more about this?
Well, sometimes. We get into the character, or what's the most important part of a short story depends on the story itself.
Right.
Novels are different, but... Paul generally will just do a quick draft, an outline sort of, and then we'll read through it, and we'll say, okay, what works here, what doesn't work, and I will say this, Paul is a master of dialogue, and so the dialogue is almost always very, very good, but I like to say, I understand the choreography, and where we need to go from here, and how we get this.
Well,
this
sort of point. Narrative structure of the thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we start talking about it. Sometimes everything that he's written down, we use in some way. Sometimes it starts there, and we go in a totally different way, because that's what the story's where it's taking us.
Paul, let me ask you, I know you started late in your literary career. Are you feeling more comfortable and empowered with each...
I can't say that I'm on a trajectory that the arrow continues to point up. Uh-huh. I've gone through periods about 3 months ago where I was supposed to bring something to one of our workshops, and I just was stuck for about three weeks.
Writer's block.
Yeah, and I wasn't pleased with what I did, but then I showed it to Tom. We played with it, and I ended up liking it. And so I think we're going to put it in the book of short stories. It's only about two or three pages.
It's sounding to me like a very, very healthy collaboration, not just creatively, but almost kind of emotionally, too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, we've known each other since 1969.
Right.
And we lived together in 1969 for 4 years. I mean, so we've been very close, and this has only enhanced our relationship. So he knows very frequently what I'm trying to say. I just don't say it very well sometimes. And he can help us put it together in a way which hopefully makes it attractive to, and understandable to the reader.
Tom, where'd you grow up?
In Cleveland.
Okay.
On the east side.
With Pete doing a kind of, and I mean, a lot of these stories are based on his childhood and Southside memories. Do you have to do anything to relate, or was your
I grew up in a, you know, my mother was a Catholic. I grew up in Cleveland on the east side. Yeah. I grew up in the city. I went to a notorious high school there and went through a lot of stuff. So our experiences when we met, kind of
that's what bonded you.
And so we still talk the same language,
right?
You know, and
so you don't have to make any kind of like imaginative leap when
not even a little bit. Wow. I understand where he's coming from, and I say, you know, he'll write a character, and I'll say, is it this guy or is it that guy? And he'll say, it's that guy, and then we go from there.
Wow. You know, and a lot of the stuff that I've written and collaborated with Tom on, especially the characters, Tom's met because it's 55 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And he knows a number of the characters. Some, unfortunately, have passed away. Some are still alive. And he can better explain those sometimes, because sometimes I just want to jump ahead and say, hey, I described that character well enough. Go, no. You got to slow down. We got to describe this person in a little bit more detail, a little bit more eccentricities, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, I know that during this whole COVID, strange COVID world in which we live, a lot of what you've been doing has been remote, right? Yes? Is it easier face-to-face?
I'll just speak for me. When I'm editing with Tom face-to-face, to me, it's easier, but that is probably, of all the stuff we've done together, maybe 10%.
Yeah, something like that.
Wow,
it's different. I don't know if it's easier, but it's totally different. And sometimes when we get to a hard place, that's a good thing to do, is to meet.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And do it face to face.
Totally agree.
But we're really good at doing it on the phone too. It's kind of remarkable.
I have to say, and I'm just meeting you for the first time, Tom, but I've known you, Pete, for a while. That you guys have discovered something very, very good to do now, rather than try to learn to play golf or something. You know what I mean?
I find it invaluable, and it's enhanced the relationship. I think it's great.
Well, and it's also put you in a new kind of community here. You talked about this party that was held in the Fine Arts Building that Mr. Francone arranged with, and you got to meet all your other writers, and heard about their struggles and their desires and hopes. Do you guys feel? I know you flit away every December and go to somewhere else where it's warm, but are you starting to feel part of the literary community here?
I do on occasions. In that big crowd, I sort of fade into the woodwork maybe a little bit more. In a smaller group, like the writers group that I'm in, I'm very active.
How many in your writers group?
Five guys.
Okay, that's good. All of a certain age?
I think the youngest is about 64.
Holy cow.
I think we go up to about 76.
I was hoping you would say, I think we go up to about 93.
No,
a couple of them are in the book, too, by the
way.
Others.
Wayne Lerner and Joe Mallon, they're both represented in there, too. So their stories are there.
Well, it must be a proud moment, too. I mean, I know you guys have two books between covers now, but this is something special for you guys, is it not?
I'm flattered.
Absolutely.
That our story is in it. Yeah.
It's one of about, I did a rough count, like 35, something 36 like kind of stories in there. All different sorts. Stuart Dybeck's is, you know, like half a page, but also very good. When do you say to yourselves, okay, we got 40 short stories, now we got to go find a publisher? Have you started that process yet?
Not for the book of short stories. We chose to self-publish the other two books.
Which you may do now, because of the weird way the publishing business is, and nothing wrong with that. I mean, the last guy on, Bill Swizzlow and that Lakefront book, which is a very lavish book, that's self-published too. That's the new way. New York publishers are not going to go, oh, wow, never heard of you guys, so we're going to publish your book.
For the last novel, for Call Me Z, I was sending out a lot of query letters, and then the pandemic hit.
Yep.
And I didn't even get
you wouldn't get a response.
Not even a refusal, nothing. So.
Well, one of the problems is the publishers are in the blockbuster mentality, unless you're Stephen King or someone like Stephen King, of which there's nobody quite like Stephen King. They're looking for blockbusters, and you guys are doing it for the joy of writing and collaborating and resurrecting a lifelong friendship. I think that's a huge part of it for you guys, too.
Huge for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, Tom doesn't seem... seems to like you well enough again.
I don't know why, but he does.
Who knows? The book, again, look for Pete Teoto will certainly be on, depending on where Tom Myers is, will certainly be on the show the next time one of his books comes out. And I do hope it's this collection of short stories. He's been banging around titles, and the titles are very appealing. And Tom, you better bring your friend Jill in with you the next time you get to town. They are the authors of one of the short stories, People Gotta Eat. It's a charming, ultimately, to my mind, sad story. One of about three dozen in Open Heart Chicago, an anthology of Chicago writing, edited by Vincent Francone, who obviously is a pretty good guy if he can have a party in the Fine Arts Building. Gentlemen, I can't wait to read what you write next.
Thanks, Rick.
You know that. Appreciate my pleasure. It.